This is Schooled Rewired, a podcast from WHYY News. This four-part series examines how technology is reshaping the educational experience in Pennsylvania public schools. This podcast features reporting from the 2025-2026 school year. Schooled is made possible thanks to support from the William Penn Foundation. I'm Kenny Cooper, the host and reporter for this podcast. The green mountainous terrain of the Allegheny Plateau in northwest Pennsylvania played tricks with my phone service as I drove across Route 246 through rural McKean County. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning to get to my destination on time. 6 hours and 300 miles later, I finally pulled up at Otto Eldred Jr. Senior High School. It's a sprawling, yellowish brick building on a well-kept campus. It's from 1934. The last renovations happened in the 90s. Inside, the hallways and classrooms look like the other schools I have visited. But something is missing in these classrooms. Up-to-date technology. Superintendent Matthew Splain wants to show me what they're dealing with. So we go looking for some of the old laptops and computers students are using. Most places would have thrown these laptops in the trash, sold them off for parts, or banished them off to a storage closet. But not here. Money is tight. Students and teachers have to make do with what's available.
Junior high kids, I think, have the white computers we're looking for. No matter where they're at right now. I think these are some of them, if you wanted to see them. Yeah.
You want to be about a third of the whole page.
Okay. Mr. Pat, how are you?
We step into a class full of 7th and 8th graders. Matthew tells me these laptops they're using have a nickname. The white computers.
Are these the batch computers that?
Yes.
So, Logan, tell me what's been your experience with that computer?
Sometimes the screen pops out.
The screen pops out?
Yeah, the battery's really bad. And, it's just not very, fast and stuff.
The students were shy when we first walked in, but that quickly dissipated. Soon, they were all airing out grievances.
Mm-hmm. And it gets really hot when you charge it, too.
And I have, screws popping out of mine.
I can only have 4 tabs open at max.
Even the teacher joined in.
I don't know if it's a network issue, but a lot of times when we try to use a website, for some of the students, it won't load up.
We're in the middle of an AI revolution where technology dominates every aspect of our lives and plays a huge role in learning. But some Pennsylvania students in rural underfunded districts are being left behind. From the newsroom of WHYY, this is Schooled Rewired, a podcast documenting the story of Pennsylvania's public schools through the eyes and ears of students, parents, and teachers. I'm Kenny Cooper. This is Episode 3, Tech Equity. The entire Otto Eldred School District only serves 550 students, but they're spread out over 86 square miles. About two-thirds the size of Philadelphia.
We're in kind of north-central PA, right on the border of New York State. We're pretty small, rural. We do not have a stoplight in our school district. There's not a lot of industry. We're kind of a commuter location when it comes to people going other places. I think by far we're the largest employer in our entire district.
In order to better understand the school, Matthew introduced me to 2 students, junior Jack Sherry and senior Alexis Price. During Alexis's sophomore year, she had to use the white computers for her classwork. She says it was a struggle.
And we had this thing called a Genius Hour project, and it was where we would spend 2 to 3 hours a week working on a Genius Hour project to give back to our community, something that also fits very well with our rural school community. We try to do everything we can to give back.
She decided to make a cookbook from scratch. There was just one problem.
We had to document all of our things in an Excel document, and my white computer, Excel wouldn't work on it, and my computer wouldn't even load enough to get me into an online source.
Alexis had to write everything by hand. This year, she got lucky and got one of the newer computer models, relatively.
Our memory and being able to save documents. And at the beginning of the year, we had a lot of like book reports and research projects we would do, and I found myself having to rewrite it like 2 or 3 times because my computer would not save my project at all.
And these problems extend beyond small class projects. They can impact the student's future. Jack gave me an example.
Just one recent thing, we recently took the SATs, and that's like a good opportunity for every kid going to college. I can get them scholarships and everything. And the computers we have, a lot of them don't even, like, they won't run Blue Book, which is what we needed.
Blue Book is the testing app for the SATs.
So then they'd have to get different computers, and that's just a whole struggle overall.
Some students paid the price.
The most recent thing is just, it was like a meltdown with the SATs because there was 10, 15 students that couldn't get into the app.
I can't explain.
And I've got like a quadrillion tabs open right now because I have all my scholarship essays.
We decided to put their technology woes to the test. Jack and Alexis loaded up their computers. Jack tried to open up Blue Book.
Yeah, I pulled up Blue Book. It just didn't want to open. It took about, 2 minutes to load, and then...
Alexis made an unfortunate discovery. Her work has disappeared from the computer.
As you can tell, like, all my stuff had shut down and wasn't here. Like, I was working on a literature project that is no longer here. So now I'm going to have to spend extra time searching for my literature project in my files somewhere instead of being able to work on it.
This is her third computer of the year. Each of them arrived damaged with bumps and bruises. It's a cycle. Imagine your computer ends up breaking. It needs repairs. The tech department takes your old broken laptop to be fixed and hands you another used device, only for that one to end up in need of repairs just a couple months later. Teacher and librarian Adriana Woodruff says the computer issues that the students have are impacting their ability to participate in learning activities.
On any given day, I might have 1 to 2 students who are having a computer issue, and that student can't participate in the day's learning activity that's technology-based.
The problems go beyond physical hardware. The Wi-Fi is also an issue.
I swear when it rains, the Wi-Fi connectivity goes down. And yeah. There's no empirical data to support this, but when it rains, we have slower internet.
Yeah, and perception. Then when the internet's out, you ain't doing nothing on your computer. Yeah.
Adriana says this puts the district in a difficult position.
We're preparing kids for jobs that don't exist yet, and we're trying to give them the skills so that they can be successful in the future. And when you don't have technology that's keeping up with this ever-transforming, you know, tech landscape, it can be really hard to do that.
Okay, after you solve puzzle one, you will bring it to me, I will check it, and I will give you puzzle two.
Adriana and her husband, Ryan Woodruff, both work at the school district. They have a soft spot for teaching in rural communities. They both previously worked in Western Alaska at a school in a remote fishing village. They returned to Pennsylvania to be closer to family, but sometimes she worries.
I'll take off my hat as a teacher, and I'm a parent. My 3 children attend school in this district, and we made an intentional choice to send our kids here because of the staff and the school, and I'm really proud of our school and our teachers, and I think they're getting a great education. But there are times as a parent where I think, man, are my kids getting the same opportunities here that they would get in a different district?
Matthew hears it all. Every technological grievance. Every groan when the Wi-Fi shuts down. He even hears his teachers wondering aloud if the district has the ability to give kids enough opportunity to succeed. And he agrees. He grew up here.
But it's kind of disheartening to know we should be doing more with robotics and with a STEM curriculum. You know, we do pretty decent with what we have, but there's more things out there that our kids aren't experiencing.
So why can't the district spend more money?
Our aid ratio is 0.82, which means approximately 80% of our funding comes from the state.
To put this figure in perspective, let's focus on a considerably more affluent district, such as the Haverford Township School District in the Philadelphia suburbs. 80% of Haverford's revenue comes from local taxes, and 20% comes from the state. Otto Eldred is the complete opposite of that, meaning it relies heavily on state and federal funding just to stay afloat.
So you're talking about $1 million out of a $13 million budget come from local funds. You raise taxes even to the index has been high the last few years that you could raise up to. It's not a whole lot. You're not getting $100,000. You're maybe somewhere $60,000, $70,000 you can bring in. That's not going to go very far when you have the cost of everything going up.
If you forget anything, here's your resource of information.
This funding disparity is exactly why school districts successfully sued Pennsylvania, calling the funding model unconstitutional. Matthew testified during the lawsuit in his capacity as board president of the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small Schools. Even though the underfunded districts won the case, the spoils of victory have been slow to reach the affected parties. In the case of Otto Eldred, the new funding formula doesn't really provide much extra money, because Otto Eldred doesn't meet all the requirements. In 2025, Pennsylvania awarded just $50,000 to the district in adequacy funding. But not all of Otto Eldred's money problems can be blamed on state funding. The district serves Eldred Borough, Eldred Township, and Otto Township. Like many rural areas across the United States, the cluster of close-knit communities has been hemorrhaging population. To put this in perspective, in 1910, there were more than 1,200 people living in Eldred Borough, according to the U.S. Census. As of 2020, there were less than 800 people in the borough. With a declining population comes a smaller tax base. Matthew says rural districts across Pennsylvania are buckling under the weight of numerous problems, such as aging buildings, rising transportation costs, recruitment struggles, and bad technology. A lack of money lies at the foundation of it all. The students are aware of it. They have friends in wealthier districts.
I don't think it's fair because they're getting more opportunities than us, but we didn't do anything to not deserve them.
Even though I'm leaving high school with 36 college credits, I still am not going to have the same amount of knowledge as some other nursing students that are going to be going into college with me because we weren't provided these classes because we didn't have the funding for the teachers to provide those classes.
When some people have tech problems, they get frustrated. They slam their computer shut. They put it away. In Otto Eldred, they don't have that luxury. With the odds stacked against them, they push forward. But why?
Right here. These two kids right here. I mean, we have great kids. We have a great community. You know, I'm from here. I was raised here. I don't know. Jack's family's from here as well. So, you know, his dad, he was a couple years behind me in school. Your folks were not here. Once you've been here, it's kind of hard to explain to others what it's like. You know, you talk about in the old days, you're okay sending your kid outside down the street to go ride their bike and go see a friend. You're still okay doing that. I've grown up with a great staff here. I think they'd have an uprising here if I left and they weren't aware of that. So it's a family more than anything. It's not just a team, it's a family here.
This is Schooled. We're talking about education, technology, and equity. Coming up, we look back on Pennsylvania's historic school funding trial.
And they understood, the superintendents, the educators, that technology, it's not something that you can separate from education in the 21st century. It is an essential component.
We'll be right back. This is Schooled, an education podcast from the newsroom of WHYY. I'm Kenny Cooper. We're talking about technology and equity. To learn more about Pennsylvania's school funding issue and how it relates to technology, I spoke with Margie Wakelin, a senior attorney with the Education Law Center in Pennsylvania. You know, we're only a few years removed from what at the time seemed like all people were talking about in Pennsylvania, which was the historic education funding trial. I want you to rewind the clock for us. What happened? What was that about?
So it's important to understand that schools are funded with a combination of federal, state, and local funds. And most people have there's a common misperception that the majority of funding comes from local revenue. Thankfully, that if we were solely reliant on local property taxes or other wealth, our schools would be even more unequal than they are right now, because that's inherently, it depends on what the wealth of the community is that you can tax. So the problem in Pennsylvania is that we are too dependent on the local revenue and that our state has not been contributing what is necessary in order to maintain what is the constitutionally required system of public education.
In 2014, the Education Law Center, the Public Interest Law Center, and attorneys from O'Melveny and Myers filed a petition on behalf of a handful of districts, parents, and two statewide organizations. The complaint argued two claims.
So the first was that the way that we were funding schools in Pennsylvania was not meeting the constitutional requirement within the Pennsylvania Constitution, the Education Clause, to maintain a thorough and efficient system of public education. So that was one. And the second is that the way that we were funding schools was discriminating against students who were in low-wealth districts because we knew that they had significant needs and we weren't meeting those. After a series of procedural turns, we went to trial beginning in November of 2021. And then after a four-month trial and post-trial filings, the Commonwealth ruled in February of 2023 that both the system was unconstitutional and that it was discriminating against students in low-wealth districts.
Now, before we get to the actual, you know, trial outcome, I want to talk about the minutiae of the case and what it actually took to prove those two claims that you guys were trying to bring to a judge. What did that involve? What did you guys have to do?
Our petitioners were really the heroes. So we had six representative school districts across the Commonwealth, both urban, rural districts, different sizes. We had parents who were petitioners and students, and then also two statewide organizations, the NAACP of Pennsylvania and the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small Schools, PARS. And so working with the petitioners, both the districts, the parents, the students, and the NAACP and PARS, we generated a lot of evidence about what it was that our districts weren't able to do what with the funding that they were provided. And one of those main concerns, like a key concern, was technology and not having the basic instrumentalities of learning.
And as you reflect back on that time, you know, sitting in the courtroom, hearing the testimony, what do you remember most? What testimony stuck with you the most as you look back years from now?
I think some of the most powerful testimony was from the superintendents because they were showing extraordinary leadership because they had to, as part of this trial, they had to admit that they were failing their students in their communities, not by fault of their own, but they had to be saying that. And that's not something that a superintendent, we heard testimony even from Matt Splain about how one of the roles of the superintendent as sort of the face of the district is to champion the district. But they really had to say, for the greater good, I'm going to talk about how we're not meeting the needs of our students and we could do better if we had more. And that was very painful for superintendents to be testifying to about where they were, because they are lifelong educators. And so where they weren't meeting those needs.
What role did technology play in this trial?
So the trial began in 2021, and we still were feeling the impact of the COVID pandemic and when schools have been forced to turn to online learning. And for the school districts that were petitioners in our case, the impact was certainly still felt both by the learning losses that they were still having to try to remediate because of the months that their students didn't have access to learning because they didn't have the technology that was necessary, but also based on the fact that they had some grants from the federal government, from the state, for those what were described as sort of one-time funds for technology. But they were anticipating that they weren't going to be able to maintain this. And they understood, the superintendents, the educators, that technology, it's not something that you can separate from education in the 21st century. It is an essential component.
I think my next question is, you guys end up winning the trial. The petitioners win. You know, this should all be over, right? It's the end of the story.
Yeah.
But we're three years removed. So what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great question. The Commonwealth Court ruled that education is a fundamental right in Pennsylvania. So that was the first time that is the highest type of right you can have in Pennsylvania. So that was a big deal. And in finding that our leaders were not fulfilling their constitutional obligation to fund a contemporary, comprehensive system of education that includes modern technology, the court said, you need to fix this, leaders. You need to work with petitioners, but you need to fix this. But was not prescriptive about what that specifically needed to be, because really that's the job. The judiciary says, you have violated the Constitution, and now General Assembly, And governor, it's your responsibility to fix it.
Attorneys for the school districts argued Pennsylvania owed its schools an additional $6 billion. Ultimately, a state commission determined that it was underfunding schools by about $5 billion. The commission introduced the concept of an adequacy target, a funding threshold that each district must meet to provide students with a fair education. The adequacy formula takes into account a number of factors. Schools not meeting the target have an adequacy gap. Each year since, state lawmakers have set aside a chunk of cash to help those schools close the distance.
And at this point, 3 years later, we've only filled 22% of that gap.
What keeps you up at night in regards to this case?
We celebrated on February 7th, 2023. We probably celebrated for a week. But then we really thought, we got to get to work because the implementation is, I think, actually more difficult than the trial because it is changing really the hearts and minds of a lot of people who might not believe that education needed this funding and getting them to act in Harrisburg. So we will continue to do that work. And then if the advocacy that we're doing to educate our leaders about the need for funding, if that's not sufficient, then we need to be prepared to figure out, is there another type of legal challenge we need to pursue? I mean, that's our role, and that keeps me up at night, is making sure that we're not being too, you know, well, we won the trial, so now the work is done. Clearly, that's not the case.
Well, Marky Wakelin with the Education Law Center, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This is Schooled. We're talking about education, technology, and equity. Coming up, how funding issues and the rising cost of technology could force some schools in Philadelphia's suburbs to make some tough decisions.
I think a child needs a good adult in their life, and I would hate to ever go in a direction of keeping technology in a Chromebook versus having an adult in the kid's life. And I think we might be headed to a place soon where paying for all this technology versus keeping a good teacher in front of a child will come to a head.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Schooled. I'm Kenny Cooper. We're talking about technology, equity, and what's fair. You don't have to venture deep into Appalachia or take a road trip across Pennsylvania's farmlands to find a school district missing out on the tech boom of the 21st century.
We were not a school district that was able to be a one-to-one school district literally hours before school shut down for the pandemic. I mean literally hours before. I joke around like a computer was a campfire in the Upper Darby School District. Like six kids would sit around one computer and they would like warm their hands around it because that's all we could afford. You know, it was like six kids, one computer, and we thought we were doing pretty well.
A one-for-one school district should provide enough laptops for each student to take one home. Superintendent Dan McGarry says it took a crisis for Upper Darby to get there.
Even more breaking news, Governor Tom Wolf has announced Pennsylvania schools will remain shuttered for the rest of the academic year because of coronavirus.
The Pennsylvania Secretary of Education signed the order that now means students and teachers will be relying on remote learning to finish the curriculum.
Students are reacting to word today that all of the state schools, public and private, will not reopen this spring.
We didn't have any of those other resources, and so overnight, because of some of the ESSER funding, we had to quickly ramp up because our colleagues could bring their kids into school at 6 feet apart. We couldn't fit our kids at 6 feet apart. They already had iPads for kindergarten students. We didn't have any of those things. We were literally in line. I was till 8:30 at night, got in trouble because we weren't socially distant, handing out Chromebooks that we were getting like quickly ordered in overnight to give them out to try to get kids their education going without being out of school for so long during the pandemic.
You'd think they feel great about themselves. They arrived. Mission accomplished, right?
Now, I have a budget meeting just before spring break, and we're looking at $2 to $3 million a year to keep up with Chromebooks. Chromebooks were like $400 a kid. They're now over $600 a kid.
Daniel Kitchen oversees technology at the school district. He says virtually all of the pandemic-era tech funding has dried up. He thinks he can pinpoint the reason that technology costs are skyrocketing. The AI race.
And the scarcity of RAM is making it really hard to procure these devices. And even if you can get a hold of them, you know, the prices I'm looking at now are over 25% of what they were last year.
And that's for just
Chromebooks, infrastructure equipment, servers, anything that has RAM in it, which is almost every piece of technology.
Well, we're going to start talking about decision-making today. So what do you guys think about decision-making? Talk about that with each other.
Solving this problem is not as simple as asking students to foot the bill. Dan says some families in Upper Darby cannot afford to lease laptops. He says the district is at a crossroads.
Unfortunately for us, it might become a situation where we can't go one-to-one anymore. And we may not be able to have kids take computers home because we can't afford to replace the technology in our school district.
Upper Darby isn't alone. In the neighboring William Penn School District, the harsh realities are slowly setting in.
The biggest fear is being left behind, and not by our choice, not by our choice at all, but just by the nature by which the resources are available.
Darnell Deans is the chief of operations at the William Penn School District, one of the six school districts to successfully sue the state during the fair funding trial. He says the slow flow of adequacy funds is leaving the district to confront tough choices.
When all the resources are not there, something has to give. And where do those gives always happen? On the operations side. And technology is one of the areas in which we had to make some budgetary decisions on what we're going to do next year from an investment perspective.
The district has roughly 4,500 students. Although it has 4,900 laptops, it is not a one-for-one district. William Penn does not have enough to comfortably guarantee that kids can take devices home and still have enough for the classroom. Darnell likened the situation to an inescapable hamster wheel. The choice between purchasing new devices and repairing old ones is an illusion, he says, if the math never quite works out.
75% of my students here in this district are eligible for free and reduced lunch. 75% in the suburbs of Philadelphia. So there are instances in which we know that there are students at home that may not have the technology that they need in order to do their schoolwork every day. So we are being forced into these precarious places in which we have to figure out, are we going to make sure that they can do what they need to do here in the classroom, or are we going to make sure they can do what they need to do at home? And it's just a difficult position that we shouldn't have to be in.
If the laptops are far too burdensome, why can't these districts just go back to pen and paper? It's not that simple. Pennsylvania has mandated that all standardized testing must be done online, with the exception of students with accommodations. This means districts such as Upper Darby, William Penn, and even Otto Eldred cannot go back in time. The future is here, and it is expensive.
You know, I wanted to teach Shakespeare. You know, I never thought in my wildest dreams as a superintendent I'd be worried about things like Anthropic. How do I give a kid a computer? How do I make sure the cameras are keeping kids safe in school and the software updates? How do I make sure the kids aren't getting sucked into online chat rooms where inappropriate things are happening? So there's all this complication, and it all costs money. I guess that's the point.
3 years removed from the historic funding trial, Darnell just wants to have an equal playing field for his students.
It is our hope that the resources will become available so that we can make sure that these students have the same opportunities as everybody else. That's what the Constitution says. Whatever happens in another school district in Pennsylvania should happen at every school district across the state. That's what we're fighting for.
But if, and maybe when, money problems force these districts into making tough decisions regarding who or what gets cut from the budget, Dan says he's already made up his mind.
I don't think we could keep a computer over a person in a kid's life. I'm sure there's some people in here who are pro AI and going in that direction for kids getting their education that way. I'm not. I think a child needs a good adult in their life, and I would hate to ever go in a direction of keeping technology, a Chromebook, versus having an adult in the kid's life. And I think we might be headed to a place soon where paying for all this technology versus keeping a good teacher in front of a child will come to a head.
Schooled is a production of WHYY News in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Kenny Cooper. I'm a reporter for WHYY News. Our executive producer is Sarah Glover, WHYY's Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. Our editor is Madhu Smith Abora, with additional editing from Mike and Scott. Mike Schiffler and Diana Martinez are our engineers. Our producer is Alan Tu. Fact-checking from Emily Neal. Research support from Natalie Sukinagwa. Funding for this podcast was provided by the William Penn Foundation. Please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts and share on social media. Visit whyy.org for more education news. Thanks for listening.